It's time for another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Black girls laughing, 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 laughing.
Ha, 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 ha.
He, he, he. I'm not doing this.
Okay, okay. We won't make up a song today of laughter and joy. We'll be serious. Black Girls Laughing is back again with another dope episode with our dope takes on current events. This is Black Girls Laughing.
Wow, you're so cool. Wow. I want to be
That here. Was my that my 30-year-old opener. You know, so, that's like an old bitch opener, me.
So, y'all, if you haven't seen the I'm in my 30s video of that girl on YouTube who like lists off what she does now that she's in her 30s. That's going to be Brittany all the time now.
Yes, because I am in my 30s. I turned 30 on April 13th, and it was a magical day. It was an amazing day to honor the birth of me. It's my triple X birthday. That I don't know why no one calls their 30th their triple X birthday, but that's what I call it. It's my triple X birthday. I accept only porn puns as presents. So come at me with the porn puns because it's my triple X birthday, or Vin Diesel jokes. I'll accept those too.
What a way to start the show. What a way.
But actually my birthday was like a lot more grown than those.
Yeah.
Those jokes.
Talk about what you did this weekend to celebrate the big 3-0.
Well, it started on Thursday. I went out to eat. Went to one of the local Colorado Springs establishments and, you know, got myself a nice marbled steak and some champagne and a martini, you know, just real bougie and real bad. It was real great. And then this weekend, I went to Mount Princeton, which is a 14er in Colorado, in the lovely town of Buena Vista. No, not Buena Vista, because white people. It's Buena Vista, because white people. Which, whatever. But it was really cool. It's a natural hot springs. And they had like this historic like bathhouse you could go to and just like soak in these really warm waters, like surrounded by snow. But then they have that like also kids and shit run around in. But there's like an adults only section that was like $35 for the day. And you got to like get in the sauna and the steam room. And you had these three man-made springs that were like Goldilocks style. It's like the hottest, the medium hot, and like the coolest one. There's a huge pool that you could just like chill in. And then there was the natural hot springs, which was scary as fuck because it's like a bunch of rocks and like water like moving really fast. And my janky knee was like not going to die in it. So I just looked at it. It was real cool. But all the rest of it was really nice and relaxing. They make killer margaritas there. We were just living it up. Yeah, and then like the drive there was like ridiculously gorgeous. It was just like beautiful mountain after beautiful mountain after beautiful mountain. Like, stop, let's look at this. Stop. Oh, this is so cool. We went to this cute restaurant afterwards, and then today we went to the abandoned town of St. Elmo, Colorado, and it's just like all these old buildings, like a whole old like little town. It looks like it, like, you know, like someone in like a Western costume is gonna like pop out a window and tell you about the history of this place. But it was just like super duper cool, and it's like a scary drive because it was like we're like on the side of a cliff as you're going up the mountain. So I got like my first taste of how that's going to be, and it's going to be, it's like I'm going to be doing more of that like all the time. But it was just really nice just to see the beauty that, you know, something that, you know, is here. Mother Nature made for us, and yeah, just enjoy it. It's just like sat there and just like looking at creeks and just like looking at the water streaming down and like figuring out which rock you liked the most. And just,
I like that rock. The shiny one.
That rock's
one.
Really shiny. Yeah, exactly. I like the glistening ones. But it was just like another fun little adventure. And I really like hot springs. If you come to visit me ever, anyone, you will go to a hot springs, especially if you're here in the spring or in the fall, winter, because that's the best time to go. Woo. To soak in the warmth. It's just so amazing. This big ass pool is like 100 and something degrees. Okay.
Springs are cool. Hot springs are very cool. Well, happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Yeah, for everyone listening, I already wished Brittany happy birthday. I sent her a present. Don't worry, I'm a good friend.
Oh my God, I got so many presents this year too. Like, I never get physical presents for my birthday. Mixture of like growing up with Jehovah's Witness and, you know, friends that only buy me beer for my birthday. But I got like so many things in the mail. It was just so nice. It, like, I haven't had these many presents since like I turned one. Like, thank you guys.
Yay, we made your birthday memorable, even though we're all the way across the country.
Yeah, it was nice. It's nice to know that people still love me, even though I'm far, far away.
Of course. I talk to you every week, so.
Yes, you do.
Woohoo.
Huh. How was your weekend and week?
Good. As we said in the last real quick episode, I was in New York all week. New York City. I stayed with a friend. I had a work event. I ended up staying an extra day just so I didn't have to rush around to get to the bus. And I got to hang out with another friend from home that I haven't got to see in a while in New York, too. And got to have donuts and walk around Central Park and see all the dogs. And since I didn't do much exciting after work, I was reminded how exhausting conferences can be this past week, working at one for a few days. So it's like I've well maxed out my being around other people quota, and now I'm like really ready to like turn into myself and like one, be back in my own city, because like New York, if you're not going home after the day, it's like sensory overload, because there's just so much and so many people all the time. And then I wasn't like going home to my apartment, I was going home to my friends, which was cozy, but it isn't your bathroom and your things aren't already in your shower or you aren't sleeping in your own bed, so it can add to the exhaustion. But it was good, it was fun. I mean, I fall in love with New York every time I go there. It's too expensive, everything is too expensive, but I mean, it's cool. There's always something to do, which is great. But I, you know, talking to people at the conference, a couple people would like talk about Philly, or like the keynote for the second day was from Philly. And like right after he talked, I like made a beeline for him because I was like, oh, Philly, like you, my people, like, you know what I'm talking about when I say this thing, or like, yeah, like, you aren't from Brooklyn, like so many people I met here today, or like, New York has all this money for these schools to do all of this stuff, but you know, like, public schools in Pennsylvania/Philadelphia are like, sad.
Yeah.
And need so much more support. But anyway, it was good. It's exhausting. I'm excited to be back in Philly. Excited to be back in my routine. That's all.
Yeah.
Woo! So, should we get this John huh, it feels so good saying that word again, not having people look at you like you're crazy.
Like, what the hell is a John?
Should we get this John started?
Yeah, let's get it started.
Like the Black Eyed Peas.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
running, running, and running, 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 running. Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in an ill minute.
In this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhymes, you break your necks.
What happened to them? Who cares?
Fergie went solo?
I mean, yeah, Fergie went solo, Will.i.am is Will.i.am, and the other two are the other two.
Yeah, pretty much. So, do you want to kick it off?
I'm down to kick it off. So, I have some Black excellence. The only Tomi worth knowing about is Tomi Adeyemi. She is a 23-year-old author and just landed like the hugest book deal with a movie deal to boot. So she's going to be doing a trilogy of movies that's about like, she saw that there's like a major issue in young adult literature, that there's just no representation of Black people. And Brittany, you remember all the shit that happened when The Hunger Games came out, and Rue and Thresh, and everyone was like, what the, like, I didn't read Rue as being a Black girl. This is so unrelatable now. I can't relate to this character that I love so much because you decided to make her Black. Even though
she was written Black.
District 12 was just an allegory for chattel slavery. From the call and response they would do while picking the freaking fruit. Like, get the F out of here. You need to go learn some history. But anyways, Tomi was like, she went to Harvard. She was in Harvard. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to study creative writing. And I'm going to tell a fantastical, like, story about witches and supernatural powers that's rooted in the Black experience, that takes in race, police brutality, oppression, and power, and also talks through the lens of magic. So she's like the next J.K. Rowling up in this bitch. She's taking on West African, like, religious and magical stories and traditions, and bringing them to her into her novel. And so her first novel, her debut book, will be called The Children of Blood and Bone. It's going to be a trilogy. It's going to come out in the beginning of 2018, and it will just keep on going from there. She already has a 3-book deal. Movie with Fox 2000, and it's gonna be fire. So shout out to that Tomi, the only Tomi you need to know.
Listen, Harry Potter, who? I don't know him.
I can't wait. I don't need Harry Potter anymore. I was upset when they made Hermione not a biracial girl when she was clearly written as one. So,
listen, like, I didn't even love Harry Potter. And if any Harry Potter stans want to come for me, whatever. I didn't read them the first time around because I wasn't allowed to. Because the witches are of the devil. So
religion,
we can start there. But then I read it, and I was bored, at least for the first chapters of the first book, and forced myself to get through it to hopefully like it, and I still wasn't totally obsessed like everyone else is. So
the only thing worth being obsessed about is the idea of sorting and what are you going to be sorted into. And, like, that's where the magic of Harry Potter begins and ends for me. My ass is a Slytherin. Thank you for for letting me know that, J.K. Rowling. But, like, Pottermore is awesome. And that's the only reason why Pottermore is awesome, so I can take that quiz and know whatever my, like, spirit animal is, too. Like...
Yeah, I read them, I saw the movies, I didn't drink the same tea everyone else did, apparently. Oops.
But I also love, I'm excited for this girl, because I do like young adult fiction.
Me too.
Like, I read all the Hunger Games books. I liked Divergent and all that shit, and so I'm excited that... I mean, again, I've been reading so much about the underrepresentation of people of color, of women of color, young girls of color in these books. And you just go walk down the young adult fiction aisle at Barnes & Noble's and you'll see blonde girl, brunette girl, redhead girl with an attitude. And you will never see, you rarely see a black girl. So... yay for this girl that saw that problem and said, I'm going to go write an amazing book that all these motherfuckers are going to be throwing cash at me for. So,
and she
get
was
your
right.
money.
Yay, Tomi. Tomi number one. Hashtag only Tomi in the world.
All of it.
So my John is could easily be a cackle or a roar for somebody, but it's my John. The fact that United Airlines has now changed their policy on giving staff last-minute seats on full flights. This is where I like to cue a throwback jam. It's not a throwback jam for this week, but a throwback jam. One Republic's Apologize, where they say over and over again, it's too late to apologize. In United's case, it's too late to, you know, actually apologize instead of everything they've been doing. And, now changing your policy, don't you think it's a little late for that? But apparently, they've said that in the future, crew members would be allocated seats at least an hour before departure. Still probably not the best solution, but what do I know about flying? I do know that the man who was ripped off of the flight lost two front teeth, suffered a broken nose, has a concussion, and may need reconstructive surgery due to the dragging and beating he received. And I've encountered a few people that have tried to defend the airline. And to you, I say, what? And also, get out of my face. And that is my calm rendition of It's Too Late featuring United Airlines. Thank you and come again. What the hell? Oh, I'm so tired, y'all. Just laughing at all of this. But yeah, they've changed their policy, you know, after smashing someone's face in. They decided, this isn't working. Maybe we should do something different.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited for him to sue them. I'm really excited to see, like, the settlement he's about to get.
And he got, like, the biggest lawyer for stuff like this. Like, the white man that loves to steal money from other white men and loves to sue white men, he got him. He got the king. So, he's about to get a huge payday. And, you know, they, like, refunded everyone that was on the plane. Everyone. Because all their shit was traumatized. To see all that bullshit. And then they've also changed their policy that it's like, it's up to $10,000. It's like the max that they will do now to get someone to change their, to like, give up their seat.
Was that them or was that Delta?
No, that was Delta. Yeah, Delta. That was Delta. Delta did that, which I think is absolute bullshit. It just means that they're going to actually be lowballing more than ever because they made this outrageous claim that they're going to be giving people $10,000 for this shit.
Well, that sucks for them because you know people will read that and they won't be moving.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I got student loans out here.
I can always, I could always take $10,000.
Always and forever. Yeah, I mean, I even read a few posts from this one man who was editor-in-chief of, like, Aviation Magazine, of, like, talking about, like, how much, because I guess Chicago put, like, a cap on how much airlines can offer people to change seats, and how they didn't offer even half of the cap that they have. Like, they could have gone up to almost $1,400. And the highest they got was $800. And then I started reading, but haven't got to finish, a article that's dissecting, like, United Airlines' choice of not offering the full amount they could have for someone changing their seat, and how, like, it will without a doubt become a case study in economics classes, because now it's going to be a look at the power of a financial incentive, and also, like, the complete economic downturn of, like, an organization financially when you don't do what you can.
Yeah, it's gonna also show, like, how in control, how much demand and how much supply does United really have, though? Because, like, I was reading some articles on how hard it is for people that live in certain cities to even think about boycotting United. Because they're just the number, like we've come to this point in terms of our airline system in the United States is that, you know, only certain airports are one or two carrier airports, and that's ridiculous. That takes away any sense of competition when you only have, you know, Southwest and United to pick from. You'll make your decision whoever's gonna have the cheapest flight for you.
Or go to, like, Southwest doesn't go everywhere, where you need to go. I mean, it's, like, a huge... I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and even had a really frank conversation with this girl that's gonna work with me. When we were talking about, you know, Uber and Lyft, and I'm admitting, like, this past week I used Uber to get to the Megabus because Lyft was $30 from my apartment and Uber was $8.
Yeah.
That price point of a difference, over $20 difference for a ride, and like I'm broke. Like, I don't want to use Uber, but that's $22 I could keep in my pocket to feed myself while I was in New York. Like,
yeah.
When I wasn't home. So, that was my week pass to be able to ride the Metro and not have to worry about, do I have enough money on my Metro card?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sucks, but when there's a monopoly on so many of these things that we need...
And when money is at such a, is, it's messed up, because, like, right now money is the only way for social action in terms of corporations when they do wrong. But when you don't have these options, it becomes difficult for you to even use your own dollars as a form of protest. The way that rich people get to use their dollars to change policy, we have less options to even use the little bit of money that we have in a way that's meaningful for us.
Yeah, it's all a bummer. I was really bummed to, I mean, I had to even like re-download the app and set up a new account because I deleted mine. But mm-hmm. when I saw that $30 price tag, I was like, what? $30? Like, it's not that. The mega bus stop is on my side of the river, so.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all. It's never even cost me $30 to get
to the airport. Like,
that's what it costs to get to the airport. Mm. If you like do an Uber Black.
Yeah.
And I don't be doing those. I do Lyft Line or Lyft the cheap one and Uber X.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got money for Uber Black.
No. Ever. But anyway, that was my John.
Cool. We're keeping it light with the Johns today. Yeah.
We told you a lot about our lives, so.
Yeah. Let's move forward, I guess. So, this week I have a You Better Work because we are square into the second quarter of 2017. You know, we're a good 90 days into the year. And I know if you are like me, you had some goals. We all had some goals. I had some lofty ass goals going into this year. And it's time, like, you know, many of us fall off of our New Year's resolutions, our goals by this time. I mean, actually, as soon as it hits February, most people are off the wagon for most of their goals, especially their health goals or their weight loss goals or any diet goals. They usually have fallen off the wagon by February 1st. You know how busy it was in the gym. All of a sudden, it's only you and your same main friends. Come February, but I just want to like really think about how do you reevaluate some of your goals that you've tried to have. So, BK, B, how are you doing on your goals?
I didn't really have any goals this year. Yeah, I didn't set any goals at the beginning of this year except for getting a new job. So I guess on that front, I'm like 50% there.
Yeah.
I said I was wanting to lose a few more pounds, which from December to now, I've lost another 9. So not terrible, not great. Yeah, I did a really bad job at setting goals this year, but then I notice that when I try and set long-term goals, they feel suffocating for me. So mm-hmm. my goal was to, like, focus monthly. So I guess, yeah, that was a goal. Mine was to focus more monthly. And sort of like what my mom has been saying, like, day-to-day. Not existing day-to-day and only thinking day-to-day, but, like, more narrowing in on, like, what could be a monthly thing to do. And then mm-hmm. taking it day to day, and not like tearing myself down if I don't do what I said I was even going to for the month. But I've been writing more. I said I was going to go to therapy this year, so that's a 100% completed goal because I go every Monday now. I said I was going to have a new job by March. So that is kind of a bummer. But I'm still looking and still trying and still interviewing. So I haven't given that up. And hey, we have been recording every week. So like this helps with my follow through, which is something we've both talked about, like, being bad at. So, like, if anything, like, keeping up with our follow through, I hope continues to influence everything else that I'm doing. So that was a goal of us doing better with this, and we are, and we can only get better. So I guess that's a roundabout way of me saying I didn't write down any goals, but I like knew in my head and my heart like what I wanted to do, and I've somehow it's weird, I didn't write them down and I'm completing them more than I do when I do write them down. What does that mean?
I think that happens to a lot of different people. And I think you're totally correct when you say that, like, having a bunch of goals that you write out for the year can be totally suffocating, and you can already start feeling like you've fallen off the wagon just off of like day one if you don't do something like perfectly, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try to like eat better, and then I didn't do that crazy meal prep that I saw on YouTube that one crazy like paleo chick always does, and I didn't do it, so now I'm a failure.
Yep.
And when you set up these like stupid crazy expectations that are just like stupid vanity expectations, they're like, okay, I'm like a huge culprit of that. Like, I've made myself like a flexitarian, or like I eat only vegan when I'm at home. And sadly, that's turned to me eating out more.
You want meat?
Because I want to eat meat. And so then I end up eating like trash meat or something that I don't like, that isn't worth the calories that I'm putting into my body. And then I've made it like purposely hard for myself to do the things that I like, to do the things that I know is going to make me feel healthier. So like a thing that I'm thinking about for this next quarter to like really help with this goal of eating healthier and eating less meat is that I'm giving myself a list of 5 things for like each type of meal. So for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and for snacks that I like, that are easy, and that I know I can keep on hand, and like making this little like database in my notebook of like, these are the things that I can eat, so I can just make it easy. Like, so I don't have to think anymore. It's just like, okay, I'll always have some tofu, some rice, and some vegetables on hand, so I can saute up some vegetables and tofu and put that over my rice and call it a day, and I know I'll be full and happy. So I've like really started to think about that stuff, because sometimes I do stupid shit of like thinking I need to make really cool smoothies every single day, or like Pinterest worthy toast because of whatever, like, how, you know, sometimes vanity gets in the way of you actually hitting a goal, because you want to do it for the gram and not do it for yourself.
Yeah, or you forget that these people doing it for the gram, that's like their job.
That's like their total job. Like, if your job is not that, don't worry, your shit can look ugly. But like, if it's gonna keep you accountable, like, I think that, you know, some people say that taking pictures while you're like at the gym and taking pictures of your food is like as a form of insanity, and I think that that's total bullshit. It's creating a digital accountability buddy. It's people that will see what you're doing and see your progress, and then see when you're not doing things, and then say, hey sis, are you still working out? Are you still doing the things that you said that are important? So like, if social media works for you in that way, and you have a community of people that you talk to, use that as a way of tracking and keeping track of your goals. And then it becomes a little habit for you of like doing a Facebook post once a week, just saying, hey guys, I did these things, I'm feeling real good. Or reminding yourself to go into your Fitness Pal, or go on to Twitter and tell people what's going on, or make a nice Instagram post of like you getting some work done and sharing the shit that you've done. Having those check-in points are very, very helpful. Again, I'm with you. Us talking once a week is a total accountability check for me. It makes sure that I'm like doing shit so I can even say something in the at the top of the show. You know, I've said that I really wanted to go out and be a part of Mother Nature more and more, and if I don't have a dope story to tell you guys every week about what new mountain I climbed or just the fact that I did a couple of miles walking, then I know it's just a nice little check for me. Yeah.
I mean, I've been thinking about, I signed up to run my first half marathon.
Ooh.
I'm going to go home in the fall and run the Presque Isle half marathon. And
awesome.
I signed up with a friend who also is one of the few people that I think I actually got closer to after high school. And she lost a ton of weight too. And we've been running, and like, she's someone, like, if I post something on Instagram or like my story about like working out or running, she's like really encouraging, and like I think she's amazing and awesome and a mom and does like all the sweet awesome shit. So I was like, we should sign up together. So like, now I'm thinking in my head of like, how do I hold myself accountable to make sure I'm running more and like running like I usually do, because like once I get on a running kick, I'm pretty good at it, but like if I fall off, I fall off hard. So like I was thinking, mm-hmm. I was actually thinking about how you always check in about climbing for each episode. So maybe I should check in about my mileage for running each week.
Yes.
And we can have like, I don't know if it becomes part of Check It or like what, but like we check in with y'all about like what mountain Brittany has climbed or like how many miles I put in this week. So maybe that's something we should talk about adding as like a staple point.
In between hiking over the weekend, I need to start running and doing other stuff with my body so I'm not so winded on the mountain. And so I really want to start doing group hikes, and I don't want to be the fat kid in the group hike, or the kid that can't hang.
Keep up.
Yeah, I don't need to keep up. So I think that's totally great. Because I need to start clocking some miles, running, or, you know, hitting the gym. The one thing that I'm unhappy with, that I feel like I'm not doing 100% on right now, is my physical health. And like, I'm working towards it. Like, I'm going out here, I'm doing these hikes, but I haven't completely committed in the way that I have committed to my my career success or to my relationship success or like being closer to my friends and family, even though I'm, you know, miles and miles away from them. So I like, in this like this evaluation of this past quarter, that's the thing that I've noticed as being the weak spot. And now as I go into the second quarter of 2017, I'm really focusing in on that being my main goal. And all the other things, I'm going to keep on doing the things that I'm already doing, because I've already set up a strong habit of doing well at my job, of doing this every week with my friend, of being a good partner to my husband, to calling my family more often. Now, I want to focus in on this thing. And, you know, so maybe those other things might fall away. But I just wanted to remind you guys of I told you about doing this evaluation of your life, where you look at these 10 different aspects of your life, your health, your relationship, your hobbies, your career, and you just give yourself a goal. Have you been doing that? You just give yourself a simple number, like, okay, from a scale of 1 to 10, how's my spiritual life? From 1 to 10, how's my relationships? From 1 to 10, how's my career? 1 to 10, how's my hobbies? And taking that moment to just say, hey, am I doing it? Cool. Based off of these numbers, what should be my new goals going into the next couple of months? And again, you're totally right on this idea of looking at it monthly. Like, quarterly goals are great, but you have to look at them, like, you have to break them up into monthly chunks. Because you just can't, you our brains are just not equipped to think that forward into the future. He's like, it becomes a completely different world. Shit, in the past 3 months, my life has done a complete 180. It went from I lived in Philadelphia to now I live in Colorado Springs. It went from I hate my job to I love my job. So all of the goals that I could have had in December, a lot of those have shifted because of my existence has completely changed. And it's probably happened to you, to many of you too, where you have these big world year goals and then the fucking sky falls.
Like, sometimes it's a good fall, and, yeah. Sometimes it's not.
And you have to just, and you have to re-equip. And so like looking at it, 90 days, 30 days, of course, having these weekly check-ins are incredibly important. But then also look at what things that you can check off daily. And it's just sort of like you have a moment with yourself and you can have an app for it. You can do it in your notebook. You can write it on a post-it note and just put it on a goddamn wall. It's just like, what were the top three things I wanted to get done? Did I do them? Or if there's that one thing that you are just trying to make a good habit, like, I want to move my body every single day. And you just put up a post-it note that shows, shit, I did it. And you just make those little points. You can even put rewards in there if you want to. If you want to even graduate to that. But sometimes just being able to check something off, put a post-it note, circle something in a calendar is enough motivation to keep doing it even more. It's time to evaluate your goals, recalibrate, and let us know what goals are you trying to change? What goals are you tweaking this year, now that you've come to April and you've hit a partial part of your goal, none of your goal, all of your goal? Because shit, that could happen too. You can just start crushing shit and you had these goals that you thought were going to take an entire year and you crush them in the first quarter. What are you going to do now? Now you have to get new goals. You just can't coast the rest of the year just because you're a champion. Nah, you got to become a true champion ninja warrior and keep on going at them. Huh. Goals. Get them and maintain them and review them. And we're going to figure out something for the show of how we can do this all together.
Hashtag goals.
Yeah, hashtag goals.
I just wanted to say that. I never say that, so I wanted to say it and like be basic for like a minute.
Remember when making a hashtag out of something was like a really funny joke?
Yeah, and now people still do it.
No. But I was like thinking about that Black Mean Girls thing. And there was hashtag splits on trees. And that was hilarious. And how that joke would not be funny today. It came out today.
Hashtag splits on trees. I remember that. That was a good one.
Right?
That was such a good one. Can we bring that back?
Hashtag splits on trees?
I mean, that and like making hashtags for everything. Like, I sometimes go and like scroll through people's Instagrams and still see them like hashtag I bought this half price, hashtag this didn't fit me last year, hashtag, and I'm like, what is happening? We still do this?
We do.
All right. That was awesome. You better work.
Thank you.
You're evaluating. Everybody evaluate. Hey, y'all. So, announcement. As you can tell from this episode, we've just been having a really good time. Even when we've talked about, like, the not-so-great stuff with, like, Uber or United Airlines, We both had a really good week last week. I mean, Brittany turned 30. She was out. She was living in her black girl magic this past weekend.
Carefree black girl all week. I was not trying to worry about any type of terrible news. So
yeah. And I got to spend time with one of my best friends for an entire week. So we are skipping anxiety corner for this week. There's a lot going on. We know we're aware, but you know, we record every Sunday and it's supposed to be the day of rest. So we'll actually take that rule and put it into play since we're recording on Easter Sunday. It's the day of rest. So 45 is not in our even peripheral vision. We ain't looking, we ain't liking, we ain't worrying about it this week. So no anxiety corner, and we're gonna skip right over to a throwback jam to keep it funny, keep it fun, keep it light, keep it funky, keep it black girls laughing. I don't know what that was.
I like it. I like it. So throwback jam.
Throwback.
I am bringing it back. I'm bringing it back to, I think it's like 1995. So the other day we were like listening, me and the husband, we were listening to like old school music, and I was like, "Do you remember Immature?" And he was like, "No." And then I was like, "Oh, you're so white." And so I was like, "Oh, that's so precious. You don't know Immature." And so I showed him a picture and I was like, "You don't remember Immature?" And he was like, "Oh shit, I remember Immature." He's like, because of course, if you watch Sister Sister, you knew Batman, Marcus Houston, and oh, you were and like, you know, Immature, the original B2K, the original, they were the 90s boy band, like black boy R&B band, just being the cutest, and everyone had their favorite. And I remember fighting my friend over who got Romeo or who got Batman, and no one wanted LDB. But so if you were a group of three girls, you were fighting over who was gonna have to be stuck with LDB in your imaginary dreams. Like of you guys triple dating. But my throwback jam is We Got It. We got it.
Oh my. Well, now I know what I'm listening to immediately after recording.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's got such a funky beat. Like, I forgot how, like, New Jack swingy it was. Like, it's a good little jam. Made me, it, of course, got me into a total 90s spiral. But, well, it's like any good 90s song.
Those yeah. spirals, man.
They're the best. They take you back.
I was in a Japanese restaurant yesterday in New York, and they were playing all throwback jams. And I was like, this is so random, but I'm okay with it. I was like, and like the one waiter was dancing and singing along, and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening right now in this Japanese restaurant while you're playing throwback R&B and pop. But thank you. And I wish they had played Immature now.
Right?
I wouldn't have stayed in my seat. I barely stayed in my seat as is, so. Time for the giggle cackle roar.
Go at it with your cackle, girl.
A lot of people have talked about Tyrese.
Oh gosh.
I feel like a lot of podcasts I listen to have talked about Tyrese. A lot of TV shows have talked about Tyrese. I've seen a lot of sound bites. I've heard a lot of sound bites, seen a lot of clips about just the really sexist and gross stuff he says. And we haven't talked about him. We haven't. We have done a really good job at avoiding him, whether it's been intentionally or if, like, he's actually so irrelevant that why would we spend any time talking about him, which really is my POV on Tyrese. I think he's trying really hard to be relevant outside of his music and Fast and Furious, when really he should just stick to singing and occasionally acting in a movie, and then, like, being quiet everywhere else would probably be in his best interest. But amongst the really gross things he's done, he made a comment about how self-respecting women should carry themselves. He went on Facebook. He's been all over, really, putting the words he's used as sluts, skeezers, hoes, tramps, and overly aggressive, promiscuous women on blast, saying they don't have standards. This was with BET, this interview. Wow, this quote, he said, "Private planes, mega yachts, it's cracking. They're never without. However, it comes with a cost. You gotta put a lot of miles on yourself down there. Come on." So that's what he said. And now he's decided to apologize. Wow, I feel like this One Republic song just fits a lot of the things I'm talking about, of, like, it's too late to apologize. Tyrese, you've been saying a lot of mess. You've been really messy lately. You've been trying really hard to stay relevant. I don't know, you and Steve Harvey have been, like, teaming up to say some of this garbage too. Just stop. So if y'all want to see his apology, it was posted 2 days ago on Instagram. I don't really care. Or, like, 3 days ago now, I guess. I don't care. It said something about his mother taught him better. Apparently, he only learned from his mother that... And not to say anything from his mother, but apparently he wasn't listening to his mom. And he just decided to listen 3 days ago. So, yeah, y'all can check out his apology. I don't care. That's the first and last time I'll talk about Tyrese. I'm just laughing at him because he's embarrassing and needs to be quiet.
Yeah. He's just the worst. Whoever asked him for any type of dating advice?
Nobody. No one. Nobody.
And shaming the same girls that you know he was smashing when he wanted... Like, come on, please. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. So, that's it. That's it for me.
All right. Well, my roar today is for the late, great Charlie Murphy, who passed away, I think it was on the 12th of April, due to leukemia, which I had no idea that he had. I love Charlie Murphy. He is an amazing storyteller. He is, like, the realest motherfucker ever. He's someone that, like, fought so hard to have his own career. I mean, he's Eddie Murphy's brother. And, you know, Eddie Murphy was the shit in the 80s. And to be also doing stand-up at the same time probably was not... It was probably a curse and a blessing to have your brother be doing the same thing. But he was out there just doing his own shit. And I mean, a lot of people have been talking about him on the Chappelle Show. And the true Hollywood stories of Charlie Murphy talking about... Rick James, and of course the Prince one, which is just killer, are all great ones. But my favorite episode and appearance of Charlie Murphy was him as a puppet. They did the Sesame Street parody called, like, Knee High Park or whatever. And he played this Oscar the Grouch character called Stinky. that had this song called Fuck It, and how he was just like done with Earth, like work, like life. Because that's how like Oscar was, like, why are you living in a trash can? You just don't give a damn about anything. And like, and that's what he was personifying, like just the not giving a fuck. And my favorite line from it, it's so disgusting, and I'm gonna repeat it here, is that like, and that's why, and so like at one point, one of the cats, like a cat was like, well, you're not gonna get it, you'll get no pussy, for like being a, you know, a derelict, you know, dude, like no one's gonna mess with you if you just don't care about anything. And he was like, it's okay with me. Cause I can, he's like talking about like going on the internet and like, cause I can watch this porn you see and I'll beat my dick like it owes me money. It's hilarious. Everyone, I've been repeating that line over and over and over again. Because it's just the dumbest. And it reminds me of Avenue Q, which is one of my favorites. Because I love the internet is for porn. Must be why. It's
for porn.
And it was just like a riff on that, and it was just so good. And I don't know, Trevor was just always so great. He's just a great storyteller. I'm going to be taking a stand-up class starting in May, and we're supposed to pick some comedians that we like their style. And I just love his storytelling. And I want to, and like, I'm going to study his storytelling as a part, like, mixture with some other shit too. I'll figure out some other comedians that I want to use in this study of like learning how to set up jokes and stuff. But I don't know. It was really sad when I was like waiting. I was like literally waiting in the airport and like security, and Jordan texted me and he was like, Charlie Murphy passed. And then I like shouted, Charlie Murphy passed. And everyone was like, what the hell? And we all just started like going back and forth with all these different jokes of all our favorite one-liners, and just a lot of like unity, and all kinds of, like, we were like doing a lot of Chappelle lines because they all happened at him, and we were just having a great time. It was just so much fun. But it was just really sad because like no one was ready for that.
Yeah, I saw the pictures and I was like, I just saw a picture of him and I was like, oh, what is Charlie Murphy doing? And all of a sudden it was like he passed. I was like, wait. What? No one. It was so. I didn't know his leukemia had taken on like that.
No. I don't know, just gone too soon. It's like. Like, what is he, like 57? Like, that just. But, like, you know, only the greats.
Only the good die young. What white dude song is that?
I have no idea. I was like listening to NPR this weekend and they had on, it was like one of those like lame, like game shows that they do. And I was like, I haven't listened to one of these things in forever. Because it was like the only thing that would come through on the radio. And they were doing like, they're like describing characters through Eagle songs. And I was, one, really upset with myself that I knew that many Eagle songs. And I was just like, this is the worst. But I would have won it because I knew all the characters. So I'm really up on white culture.
Good for you.
Well, we have to be up on white culture, and I have to be. It's just only the whites right now, so.
We ain't gotta be up. I don't know nothing. I don't know no culture.
You know plenty. We know all the references, because we have to know all the references. That's how you survive in white spaces, is to be able to laugh at the office joke when someone makes the office joke, or... Like
a joke from the show Office?
Yeah, like the show The Office or any other.
Brittany, I've watched 2 episodes of The Office my entire life. I don't know any of the jokes.
Okay, well, I guess
I'm not living out here in white culture. I don't know even know what how I'm surviving. I'm not living in no culture. When I was with Sarah all week, she would say something and I would be like, am I supposed to know what that is? All week. I don't even know how many times I said it. I don't know nothing.
Oh, that's nothing, funny. Guys.
I just now decided to watch that 13... What is this TV show that people...
Oh, don't watch about? That bullshit. Everyone's been saying nonsense, like the 13 Reasons of Life, or I don't know what it's called. I am refusing to watch it. It keeps on popping up on my Netflix suggestion. I'm like, pass.
Brittany, this is the first time since Grey's Anatomy came out that I've, like, started watching a white people TV show, like, relatively close to the day that it started.
Well, good for you? I don't know.
I'm taking this moment of, like, knowing what a TV show is talking about and running with it.
Just it's like when I watched The Crown earlier this year.
Yeah, like you've watched House of Cards, and did you watch Breaking Bad?
I watched it towards the end of it. And did you watch? I started dating a white at that time, though. That's why I got into Breaking Bad.
Did you watch what's that other show with the zombies?
Again, I got annoyed with that show after like 3 seasons.
But I've never watched one. Not one. Not even accidentally. I've never watched one episode.
So you didn't get lost in the... It's called The Walking Dead. You didn't get, like, lost in any of that, like, zombie culture? Because, like, that was, like, huge for a long time. Like, there was a zombie pub crawl every other week in Philadelphia for a while. Like, everyone was just... I know, even like senior year of college, we were like making jokes about zombies and how you would like, you know, fit. Like, how would you survive in a zombie apocalypse? You weren't a part of any of that?
No. The only zombie thing I ever watched was that one movie where they like give you the tips on how to survive a zombie apocalypse, and it's like some white dude. Zombieland? Is that the movie?
Oh yeah, with the dude from Facebook. The guy that... Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, that's the only zombie thing I ever partook in.
No, I fell into the zombie shit.
I mean, you said the word... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. We're excited.
Like, I want it to be Michonne for Christmas, for Halloween once.
For Christmas. You could be here for Christmas, too. Who says you can't?
Yes, the Holy Michonne came in with medicine from the...
Yeah, oh I mean, gosh. You said the word lost, and I'm, like, thinking of that TV show now, and I'm like, oh, I've never seen an episode of that either.
You never saw an episode of Lost?
No. I did a really good job at avoiding a lot of white things. The only white thing I didn't avoid was Jersey Shore.
Well, I wouldn't call... I mean, a lot of white people like The Walking Dead, but there's a lot of people of color on that show.
Yeah, I keep hearing.
And like, I have a lot of, like, it goes crazy on Twitter every week when that show's live, because there's a bunch of black people watching it together through Black Girl Nerds. So, like, black people like those things, too.
Well, I'll one day learn what everyone's talking about with The Office, I suppose, and Parks and Rec. I've actually seen a couple episodes of that, but I've never watched enough to know what people are talking about.
Parks and Rec is great. Was good. I mean, the 6th season was trash, but, like, that's most shows. Everything should end after, like, 5 seasons. 5.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I know about Parks and Rec is a lot of people say I'm similar to Aubrey Plaza in the sarcasm sense. Not as bleak as her, but sarcastic. I think it's a good time to wrap up.
Oh my God, I'm just looking at this picture of Beyonce, Miss Tina, and Kelly Rowland.
No, don't talk to me about it.
And Beyonce's just looking like a goddess in these like long blonde braids with beads at the end.
Whatever.
And that baby bump is just like, is she having this baby soon? And did you hear about Gaga? So she, you know, she replaced Beyonce at Coachella. And she's like, I'm going to do a Beyonce medley for all of Beyonce's fans. And I was like, no one needs to hear that. No one asked you to do any of those songs.
Nope.
I'm still mad at you for not having Beyonce appear at the... when you did the freaking Super Bowl, but you had the nerve to do Telephone, and I was bumping, and I was like, oh yeah, Beyonce's coming out, and I was like, oh no.
Stop telephoning me.
Oh well, the world's about to end anyways, like, let's not even even learn about the white shit, because it's fucking over anyway.
Time to wrap up the episode. So you can find us on the internet before Brittany gets all bleak and morbid.
Well, I mean, my anxiety corner, like the lack of it, all of a sudden just like re-emerge. Just like, oh yeah, I know the thing I'm fucking anxious about.
Anyway. You can find us on Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. On Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. You can find our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. You can email us, blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. You can find us on our personal Instagrams. We've got pictures. Brittany's got pictures from her awesome weekend, her turn up in Colorado in the mountains. I've got pictures me gallivanting through New York, so if you want to see some of what we did and check out our photography skills, I don't know, or just see what we do. We're pretty good at updating our stories, so like see what we actually do kind of every day. You can follow me at B like Bumblebee, Knightly, like Knight in Shining Armor with an L-Y at the end. So at B-E-E KNIGHTLY.
Yeah, and I am Bree Hines. Bree like the cheese. Hines like a good last name. H-I-N-E-S. It's a really good last name, guys.
So follow us, talk to us, hang out with us. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Peace. Come on.